Today we have the beginning of John chapter 6, the great Eucharistic chapter. And before the Lord gave his teaching that he is the bread of life, he worked a great miracle, the multiplication of the loaves and fish. Now the Lord never did anything by accident. You notice a few chapters before, after he had told Nicodemus, we must be born again of water and the Holy Spirit, immediately he and his disciples go to the Jordan River and his disciples start baptizing, again, to make it clear that he was connecting his teaching about being born again of water and the Holy Spirit and the necessity of baptism. And then when the Lord was with the woman at the well, he gave his discourse on the living waters, that he himself is the living waters. And now it says the Jewish feast of Passover was near. And this is where the Lord would give his discourse that he is the bread of life. But first, he worked a great miracle to show that what he was about to reveal one day in the Eucharist at the Last Supper, that he was connecting it to the multiplication of the loaves and fish. Again, doing a miracle with bread and fish to prove that what he was about to reveal to them, that one day he would give us his body and blood in the Eucharist, could happen. That he was working this miracle to prepare their hearts and minds for the great revelation of the Eucharist at the Last Supper. So in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, we have the Lord crossing the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd followed along the way. They could see where his boat was, so by the time the Lord got off the boat on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, there was a huge throng of over 5,000 men, and then an additional, I'm sure, thousands of women and children that were following him, because he was working great miracles, great signs. People wanted to be cured, and so that they followed the Lord. They wanted to receive his blessings. They wanted to receive miracles and healings. So the Lord gets out of the boat and he sees this vast crowd of thousands of people coming toward him. And he looks up and he asks Philip, where can we buy enough food for everyone to eat? Why would he ask Philip? Well, Philip was born and raised just 9 miles from there in Bethsaida. He knew all the local restaurants. He knew all the fast food places. And so he says, where can we go? Well, of course, it says he said this to test him, because he knew what he was going to do. So sometimes the Lord allows us to be tested, not beyond our strength, of course, not beyond his grace, but sometimes he allows us in order to increase our faith, to bring us to holiness. Sometimes the Lord tests us, and he says to Philip, well, where can we buy enough food? And Philip said, there's no way. Even if you had 200 days' wages, only everybody could just get a mouthful. But then Andrew comes on the scene. Andrew is the PR man for the apostles, the public relations fellow. He's always working the crowd. He brought Peter to see Jesus. He brought the Greeks to see Jesus. And now he brings a young boy to see Jesus. And this boy offered his lunch. And it was just 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. The barley loaves is the bread of the poor. The poorest of the poor would eat the barley loaves. It was at least expensive. And who knows what Andrew wanted the Lord to do. Maybe he was saying that, well, this is all we could find. But this young boy was offering his lunch. And so Jesus says, well, that'll do. What would the Lord have done had nobody come forward? The Lord would not have created things out of nothing. But he wants, even if we only have 10%, if we give that 10% to God, he can make use of it. Even if you don't have much, but if you give what little you have of your time, your talent, your treasure, the Lord can make use of it. We should never think, oh, what could my little gift do for the Lord? Well, the Lord can take our offering, even as small as you might think it is, the Lord can then multiply that. He can take your time, he can take your talent, he can take your treasure, and he can multiply that. But we have to give the Lord something to work with. Even if we don't think it's much, we should still give it to the Lord. So the Lord tells the people to recline, the posture of eating. It says there was great grass in that place because it was the springtime. It was the Passover. It was March or April, and the grass was abundant. And so Jesus took those loaves. It says he gave thanks. Now this was not the Eucharist, of course. That would not be until the Last Supper. But we get the word Eucharist from this word. He gave thanks. And then distributed it to the apostles, and then they distributed it to the people. The Lord was able to feed the 5,000 with those five loaves and two fish. Somehow they were miraculously multiplied, so everybody got their fill. In fact, so much more that there were 12 baskets of fragments left over. The Lord did not want those to be wasted. That would then be given to the poor, I'm sure. So the Lord does not want us to waste things. He doesn't want us to waste our lives or our time or our talent. He doesn't want us to waste food. We need to be mindful of the needs of the poor. And so the apostles see this great miracle. The people see this great miracle, and they want to make him a king. So Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him by force, probably into Jerusalem to make him a king. But it says he withdrew to the mountain alone. So this great miracle, the multiplication of the loaves and fish, is a prefigurement of what will happen in the Eucharist, where Jesus will feed the entire world, 1 billion Catholics, every Sunday go to Mass. And they receive the same Jesus. Imagine that. Jesus is here in our parish. He's in every Catholic church throughout the world. And we're all fed by the same Jesus. That, of course, is a great miracle, prefigured by the Holy Eucharist, by this miracle of the multiplication. And also realize how concerned the Lord was with the leftovers, with the particles, with the fragments. If the Lord was concerned about fragments or leftovers with natural food, namely barley bread, how much more should we be concerned about the fragments or the particles of the sacred host? That's why we always receive communion very reverently and respectfully. We don't take the Lord for granted. We make sure that no particle is ever lost. That's why the altar boys hold the patens underneath. And for those who do receive in the hand, be very careful that no particle is ever lost, because it is the Lord. Even the smallest physical particle is still the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. So if Jesus is concerned with the fragments of ordinary bread, how much more should we be concerned about the particles of the heavenly bread, Jesus himself?